some unseen boundaries, and this appears to us to be terrifying. There is no reason to suppose that it truly is, if we let the universe support us. But we're not accustomed to doing this. The human form is really a system of controls. Actually, it is the appearance of control at a limited level of ego. Just think of it. As a baby, you've no control at all. You can't even control your mouth. The food runs out. It's difficult for you to swallow. You have no control of your bladder and bowels. No control of your emotions. This is something that your parents or any adult has to guide and initiate you into. Your parents actually teach you about control. As you grow, you have to learn to control the muscles needed for crawling and walking, again with the encouragement and guidance of adults, those that already know how and that are there to teach you their patterns. You have no choice but to learn these new things from them. It doesn't stop there either. As you get older, you're constantly learning more methods of control, learning to write, to dress yourself, to play ball, to dance, to do maths, to draw and paint, to take out the trash, or swim. These are all activities which are about control. The more control you have, the better you are able to do these things. Or you have to control your emotions, constantly hearing, don't cry, don't whine, don't talk back, don't have sex, don't say what you think. Control, control, control. Then there are threats. If you don't do what I say, then dot, dot, dot. And if the adults use violence to institute control, then the patterns are ingrained to the point of your survival depending on not breaking them. In other words, you fear for your survival should you transgress. This whole process successfully locks you into your human form, making it extremely difficult to escape. In fact, one is often so locked in that even the tiniest crack in the shell is likely to make us fear for our lives, often only on an unconscious level. As I said earlier, fear, all fear, has its root in the fear of death, and the loss of control is the greatest threat to the ego. So the belief develops that our ability to control our lives and the circumstances in which we find ourselves is paramount to our well-being and survival. This is the limited paradigm of the human form, and it's based on the belief of our autonomy in the ego, our sense of separateness and isolation. This belief states, I'm in charge. If I don't take care of myself, I'll die. Or its opposite. If I cannot take care of myself, then someone else must do it, or I will die. The autonomous separate self believes that it is held together and monitored by itself. Hence we have this belief system of a fear of falling apart. Falling apart being the beginning of a threatening cycle which could lead to our dying. We talk of falling apart in our language as synonymous with losing control, which we have seen is one step away from dying. All these beliefs are erroneous. Then, of course, there's the great unknown. What this means is that we soon come to realize, before we're very old, is that we're not able to control everything in life. There's always some unforeseen circumstance which comes out of left field and completely surprises us. I'm sure you know the experience. Showing us quite clearly that we have not gained the full control of everything. We have been conditioned to believe that it's right to control everything as precisely as we can. In fact, we are addicted to controlling everything. And then life has this other side, which consistently reminds us of our helplessness by regularly throwing us a curved ball. Our polarized minds, so addicted to control, then become completely fearful of what we perceive to be its opposite, chaos. The polarized nature of life is such that we have to accept that we're not perfect because we cannot control the whole game of life. We came here to play God. Yet when we got here, we found that we could only be God half the time. The rest of the time, we were powerless. And we constantly seek to transcend this by becoming more powerful. In this world, control equals power. And this constant seeking of power is a drive to become superior, ultimately an act of futility. It is really, on the underside, the drive to fulfill the unconscious promise of playing God, which we were given along with our free will. In this world, there's the opposite side, where we're helpless in the face of outside forces. And we hate this with a passion. So we're hooked to a treadmill where we strive for greater control all the time, falling prey to using anything we can to sustain our control. This becomes dominance, of course. And when that fails, we resort to manipulation. All of these dynamics, which I've mentioned, are the reason we're locked into addictions of competing in success and superiority. But I would like to say here that all is not lost. We're not stuck with our old selves. There is another level of our being beyond the human form, beyond the ego, a much more expanded level. We seek to reach it. This expanded part of us is much more aware of being linked into the whole universe. It's more connected with the different aspects of existence. It's more subtle in its nature, much more fluid, more flexible. It has a larger notion of control. It's us as the Divine Mother. We are connected to the Source. We're not alone in the universe as we're taught to believe. We're part of a much larger whole which nurtures and protects us, known as the Higher Self, who clearly does have a fuller measure of control. We also have guides who watch over us. This is the good news, so that we can realize that we will be working in tandem with powers which are larger than us and assist in the controlling of our lives. The Zen idea of controlled abandon is the perfect description of our ability to control and to let go at the same time. Controlled abandon is a paradoxical state where two opposites come into balance with one another. The letting go or abandoning oneself is the giving of the control to spirit or higher power willingly. There is a share of the control here, or sharing of the control with higher intelligence. Skill comes with learning the control at a physical technique level, but mastery comes in allowing the divine to participate by abandoning oneself to her power, the divine creative force, while being able to retain your own technical skills. This balance manifests as our creative genius. One has to allow spirit to participate for genius to be there, because the breath of inspiration comes from God, and mastery is letting it in. In the ordinary mundane physical world, there is an unconscious basis of perception for all of our belief systems. As we grow up and become used to the world in the way that we are being taught to see it, we have a very fundamental and unconscious way of seeing form and formlessness. In our infant state, all that we can see is swirling and formless energy. Our parents assist us to perceive and solidify the forms. They teach us how the physical world appears to be solid and unmovable and dense, and how space appears to be empty. Our sense of control is intimately bound up with a perception of dense form and empty formlessness. We're conditioned to see the world in relation to gravity, momentum, and space as we learn to crawl and walk, and eventually to the passing of time as we grow older. In the awakening to the larger arena of awareness, this view of form and formless of the physical as we know it has to change. We have to be able to allow the normally fixated arrangement of form and formless to change, to reorganize and to come into balance that is a little different. Form and formless have to become less polarized into extremes. Take the current view of physics. In it, we see the discovery that everything is energy.